Thanks for tuning in to this Upsell Show. I am your host, Seven Murdoch, exposing the good, the bad, and the ugly in all things real estate right here at KPPF Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. You can listen in on 95.7 FM, 98.5 FM, and 1040 AM. And don't forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel at KPPF Radio, 1040 AM. I'm here today with Chris Frankmont, Guaranteed Rate.
Ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh.
Chris, thanks for coming back again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're a good staple, man. And special guest, Ben Kennedy with ERA Shields, luxury realtor, investor, entrepreneur, flip expert.
Philanthropist, all other kinds of things, but very happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So we're definitely looking forward to just picking your brain here a little bit. And I always like to start my listeners and viewers off alike with our starter kit, okay? So for the starter kit today, I want to just touch on a couple of things with you in regards to flips. You know, if you're a new investor, you're looking at getting into the industry, maybe a couple of tidbits that you might bring to the table because you're a pro there, and all things luxury.
Absolutely. Well, let's just start with the flips. So first things first, it is not as easy as you see on HGTV. So probably the first thing to know, and not necessarily for the timid either. I would say the most important thing is to try and find a realtor that actually has flipped or is actively flipping. That way they know the current market on supply issues, construction costs, kind of all the above, and then can help kind of walk you through what some hidden costs are. Kind of like a lot of people don't account for either interest that you build up while you're borrowing money, usually on these things, utility bills.
I mean, and that
taxes.
can be tens of thousands of dollars, right?
Oh yeah. My last one was like 65 grand in interest. So it really eats into the profit margin. So you know,
so really,
the
if you're a
first,
smart flipper, like you save your own money, hoard it, and use your own money
if you can. Yeah, I mean, otherwise you're going to get stuck with probably like hard money, or you're going to find another investor and end up having to split the profits 50-50. So
don't forget to factor that interest into your numbers.
It kind of makes a big difference. So, but again, there's just a bunch of these little costs people don't think of, and most realtors have just never done it.
I would agree with you on that. You know, and being a real estate broker myself, and obviously yourself as well, I think that it's a fair statement to say, you know, most realtors know a little of everything and a lot of nothing, you know, or they just know everything seemingly all the time and you find out the hard way, right?
Yeah, if they know all of that all of the time, then they probably know absolutely nothing.
Right, so. Like look to the portfolio on that one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so about how many properties would you say you flipped?
I think right now I'm on 340 or 341, 341 flips.
Oh, wow.
So,
and they're all here in the local Colorado Springs area?
From Monument to Fountain all the way out to Peyton, but yeah, pretty much all El Paso County.
Okay, but you're not 80, so like how long you been doing this? Because seems like you need to be 80.
I did my first one when I was 20. I'm 33 now, so it was a lot easier back, you know, in 2009, 2010. Yeah, materials one, but when there was a lot of foreclosures. So, you know, you go look at 7 different short sales a day and get all of them under contract. So back then it was a lot easier.
So you're back there buying 7 or 8 houses a day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Back then you could just throw some lipstick on it, you know, and then turn around and sell it for a profit. Now, with the competition and everybody and their mom who thinks that they can do this because they watch a TV show, who are just... A lot of first-time flippers are getting in bidding wars with idiots, and that's another reason why it's good to have a realtor who knows what they're doing so that they don't allow you to do that.
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, and an emotional transaction is never usually a good thing, right?
Yeah, and they always say a regular home, your primary is the biggest purchase or asset you buy in your lifetime. Try a house flip.
So
it's just even more important.
That's like go big or go home on that one.
It is, and as you know, like now I've had to resort to lifting houses and putting basements under them, and I had a house that fell in a 16-foot hole, and thankfully there wasn't like a homeless person under there, so we didn't pull a Wizard of Oz with a shoe sticking out from under the house.
Oh my gosh, that's wild.
Again, just
were you there to see that happen? Did you watch that unfold, or did you get a phone call?
No, I got a phone call. It's actually an ongoing joke in my office because some realtors heard me take that phone call and start laying into the contractor over it. So, and we got some good pictures and videos of we wrapped chains around the house and tried to pull it out of the hole in one piece with two tractors. That didn't work very well. So, you know, that one went severely over budget.
So, okay, one quick question, and no better person to ask than you. We see a lot of properties that have been flipped. I think that that's every market, right?
Yeah.
How do you know a good flip versus a flip that's going to be a bad apple?
So there's little things I can tell you if an investor likes to put a lot of attention and do things the right way. So there's little things in our market with our code where even if you just upgrade a kitchen, technically you're supposed to pull an electrical permit for a kitchen upgrade. So it's very simple, but most flippers won't do it. And so if you want a good way to tell if this guy's doing things the right way,
look at the permits.
Just look and see if you have something like that.
Interesting.
Another thing to tell too is wall texture. If they're too cheap to leave, you know, 4 decades of different kind of wall texture and paint up, and so everything just looks super spotty, then they're too cheap to do most things the right way.
That's true. So, that's definitely true.
Just little telltales like that.
So. I think we've all heard of a horror story.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ben, I was really curious. You're talking about going over budget. You were talking about supply costs. And I think that is really important. I'm interested to know how in the last year and a half it's made flipping more challenging. Because we've heard is lumber costs skyrocketing.
Sure.
Aren't you trying to flip something right now?
You know, we thought about flipping something. I think I might actually gear towards a commercial property
yeah,
instead.
There you go.
I'm not sure if I'm ready to take that on like you guys just yet.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's been interesting. So I'd say it's added probably an average of 45 days to each flip.
Wow.
Just time-wise, which, again...
Just time to get materials?
Yeah, which there's between $6,000 and
$10,000.
That's
grand a lot of money
interest.
On, yeah, interest.
Absolutely.
There you go.
And so sometimes you don't get the exact design you want or the products you like using because of it. And then, yeah, you have issues where now you're buying cabinets that your installers aren't used to, and then they screw up the cabinets because it's different
kind of
install.
Well, because when you flipped as many properties as you have over the years, you kind of get it down to a science, and your crews kind of do too.
You certainly try to, and so they get, you know, very complacent and use, you know, in their ways, and so when you're forced to kind of pivot, you know, you feel it all the way down the line.
So, Ben, how would you say being an expert flipper investor has helped you in the luxury market?
That is a great question. So I would say it helps you deal with the people. They're kind of similar as, and when you start dealing with a lot of investors, these are people usually successful businessmen day to day in other jobs.
Right.
And so it helps you learn how to deal with those kind of personalities in the luxury real estate market. Because it's radically different between selling a 7-figure house and a $400,000 just with the people.
Is this a nice way of saying rich people are a pain in the butt?
Yeah, I can't talk, you know. So.
Well, yeah, Ben, we all know how bougie you are.
Yeah, we all know
how
I am.
Okay.
But that's the biggest thing is getting used to the people and learning how to handle that in different scenarios. And then it just...
So do you know where to find imported tile from...
Yeah.
Vintage European.
So you deal with that, and then you have to learn how to do targeted marketing ads outside of your state, typically when you get in certain price points. And so just everything's different down to the people, the type of marketing. You're dealing with as Chris can attest to this, a much smaller buyer pool.
Yeah,
and
that's
so,
true.
That's just another... complication.
From my experience, you know, wealthier people are willing to pay more if they get better service out of it.
Absolutely.
Like higher quality of, you know, broker, partnership, whatever that might be.
No, you hit the nail on the head there. And that's why luxury real estate will never slip into the iBuying stuff because the level of service will just not be there.
Oh, Ben, what a killer transition. Yes, you did. Well, you guys, that is going to bring us into our next segment, which is going to be our market update led by the one and only Chris Frankmont right after this quick break. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am Sev Sells, your host, Seven Murdoch, exposing the good, the bad, and the ugly in all things real estate. We'll be right back after this quick break. Thanks for tuning in to the Sev Sells Show. I am your host, Seven Murdoch, exposing the good, the bad, and the ugly in all things real estate right here at KPPF Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. You can listen in at 95.7 FM, 98.5 FM, 1040 a.m. And please don't forget to like and subscribe to us on YouTube at KPPF Radio 1040 a.m. Now, we are picking up where we left off with the one and only Benjamin Kennedy, ERA Shields Luxury Realtor Investor Extravaganza. extravaganza man, and the one and only Chris Frankmont, guaranteed rate, where you are guaranteed to get the best rate in all things real estate.
Well, we can't legally say that.
All right. Okay. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But you're going to get
true.
One a really, a big, really
he's
good.
He's going to try really hard, though, okay?
It's going to be a really good rate.
But anyways, Chris, if you want to go ahead and pick up kind of where we left off on our market update, yeah. I know that Ben had previously mentioned iBuyers.
Yeah, Ben alluded to iBuying, and that's a real hot topic right now. So I thought a great topic for the market update is talking about how we're seeing our industry shift and change, some of the other players coming into the market, and some of the challenges that they're facing. And so the big hot news right now that we're seeing all over social media is Zillow. And Zillow saying that they're going to offload all these houses that they're underwater on and lay off 25% of their employees.
Yeah.
And that's obviously been a huge deal. And so, you know, I have some firsthand experience. I'd love to hear your guys' insight as well on dealing with them. We've had multiple deals with Zillow as the seller recently. They bought. Most of them they're selling for less than they bought. And I know a lot of us saw the video of the strategy there and how that's going to help them create future income, but it may be backfiring with the news coming out. And so on our end, it has been a pain in the butt, all of our deals with Zillow. I mean, we've had one that we had to delay 3 or 4 days on closing just because Zillow's title company couldn't get us figures. We had figures to them 4 days before the original closing date. We called every day. We emailed every day. The agents called. No one could get a response back, and closing kept getting delayed. I think they just...
So they're making money on their own title company right now, too.
Yeah, their own title company, their own agents. I mean, they are...
That's not sketchy at all.
Yeah, you know. Right. No, not at all. I'm sure they have affiliated business disclosures, but it's still just, you know, it does rub some people the wrong way. And especially when they're not delivering. It seems like, in my opinion, they underestimated the variables or the amount of... Yep. The amount of stuff they had to worry about. And now they're getting bit in the butt by all these little things. So a smooth, easy deal, anyone can do. It's kind of like a loan. I say a black and white loan... 99% of loan officers can do. It's the tough self-employed, the funky guidelines, the unique ones that separate. I think they got just a couple of those, and it was some real chinks in the armor.
Yep. Oh, to watch the mighty fall.
Turns out house flipping's not as easy as Zillow thought. Again,
you can't just buy it and do nothing and try to sell it for more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, depending on how long you hold it, though, and what the market and your marketplace is doing. I mean, in Colorado Springs, if Zillow would have done that with all the properties that they've purchased in Colorado Springs for a year, last year, woo-wee, they'd have done pretty well. I don't think that they'd be getting ready to lay everybody off.
Yeah, no
but
kidding.
You know what? I think that Zillow is a monster, and I think, Ben, you're kind of right there with me on that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they should have changed their algorithm so they didn't say, put the house up for $30,000 more within 24 hours of closing on it.
You know what
maybe that would have made a difference.
You know what made me so happy, though, is like the Zestimates, right? We all have... heard about Zestimates, probably even looked up our own Zestimate. And being real estate brokers and probably even in the lending world, you probably have someone call you and they're like, oh yeah, my Zestimate's X. And we're going, probably
for sure. When we're doing a refi and I say, what's the estimated value of your house? Well, my agent said 400K, but Zillow says 460. I'm like, let's roll with 400. They're like, oh, well, let's use 460.
Yeah, and you know what? I even turned down a listing a couple weeks ago because they had got an offer from Zillow. And I was like, that is... $60,000 more than your property is worth. Take the offer and run. It's going to be a nightmare, but get it while you can. You know, I don't know how much longer they're going to be doing this. And sure enough, literally 2 weeks later, they're not doing it anymore.
Yes. Here's a question for you, Chris. I get this a lot from my clients, especially investors. They're all wondering, with all the furlough payments that have been going on with the pandemic, if we're going to see an influx in foreclosures or short sales coming up. So I'm curious what you've seen on your end. And then did you expect that all the foreclosures would now just come from a company like Zillow?
Right. It's a great question, Ben. So, you know, there's been mixed, like anything, you hear people on both ends of the spectrum. I think there was a lot of people assuming that when all these furloughs and deferred payments came to fruition, that there was going to be a lot of foreclosures. Mm. Most of the data I've seen is counteracting that, is saying that that's not going to be the case. We're not going to see some huge influx of foreclosures. A lot of these payments that are staying deferred are people that have money that are wealthy that just don't want to pay.
Yeah.
They'd rather use the money elsewhere.
You tell an American they don't have to pay, what's the average American going to do? They're not going to pay.
Absolutely.
Take your money and run, obviously.
Yeah. So I agree with you. I didn't think it was ever going to happen, but it's something I've been getting asked pretty consistently.
Absolutely. I mean, I've had many a buyer say, I'm just going to wait until, you know, these start happening. I'm like, okay, that seems really risky.
Yeah. I had buyers say that 3 years ago, and
right.
I'm looking at the market today going, oof, that is a steep one.
Yeah. they're paying 70% more for the same house that they would have 3 years ago.
Oh, after another $150K in rent.
Oh,
rental
yeah.
income and go against their house.
You're exactly so. Right.
Oh, Ben, cracking the whip on that rental income. I like it. Yeah, I mean, this iBuyer thing, I'm honestly not surprised. So, I mean, before you go shoving your Zestimate down your realtor's throat or your lender's throat, do bear in mind what's happening with Zillow right now. Because it looks like they decided to do business based on their own Zestimates. And we all know how important it is to physically see a property.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's just something I already kind of touched on, but I think it's emphasizing the importance of an agent in terms of when you have a difficult deal. You'd sure hope that all the deals you go through are black and white and easy, and some of those small, more intricate clauses of your contract don't come into play. And I think Zillow thought that that was so much of the market, they'd be okay. And they're learning the hard way that when you do have a complex deal with a lot of moving parts, it takes a lot of time and energy. We always say in our industry, 10% of our people take 90% of our time, because it's most things are pretty smooth and easy, but the ones that aren't really take a lot of significant effort. And I think that's one thing that really set them back. And that's just showing the value and importance of having a good educated agent that understands all the ins and outs. So when you do, you know, fingers crossed you don't, but when you do get in one of those scenarios that's not a straightforward deal, that you have possible litigation, that you have issues coming up, you've got someone who understands it, has your back, protected you contractually, and is there to support you and be there for you.
100%.
Also states the importance of having a local lender.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Very much. It goes both ways.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and are your lender and your realtor in communication, right? I mean, and I've never, you know, worked directly with Zillow before, but from what I've heard, hard to get a hold of.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had a couple deals with them that we needed amends or things signed by their agent to get clear to close, and it was days of calls and emails and texts to get a click signature that takes 5 seconds in your email. So.
Right. So, I mean, not only are they screwing themselves on buying all these properties for more than they're worth, but they're trying to be the title company and everything else. It seems like a sticky mess.
Speaking of, did you see their stock today?
No.
It's amazing. They are down $25 a share, which is about 33%, I believe, from what they were at yesterday. So,
and they're not done falling either.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, karma. It's fun to watch. It's fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no doubt about it. Well, I mean, Ben, did you have any other questions for Chris as far as what the market's doing? Any updates you're wanting?
You know, right now, because I'm going through this right now, so you all get to listen to a deal I'm doing, I just picked up a fourplex that instead of flipping it, I'm going to remodel it and keep it. And I would like to know kind of what's going on, especially with what the Fed said today, how that's going to affect a non-owner-occupied multifamily residence.
Yeah, great question, Ben. We've seen the non-owner-occupied market change quite a bit in the last 12 to 18 months, as I know you've experienced firsthand. It was really interesting. When loan volume was really high last year, they came out and added additional loan level price adjusters to non-owner occupied houses. What that means is if you were buying a second home or an investment property right before that versus right after that, the rate was a lot higher after that. They added that adjuster. So they were doing so many loans, they were trying to discourage non-owner occupied loans. That stayed around for almost a year. It just came off a few months ago. When that happened, it was great. It made refinance now
for those multifamily
properties.
Yeah,
definitely, because it came off and it made those non-owner rates more aggressive again when that was removed just a couple of months ago. Now with the Fed meeting today, it's most likely going to start pushing rates back up in general across the board. So not just owner-occ, but across the board. So absolutely, you're still in a nice window where that hit for being non-owner-occupied went away, but rates haven't really risen yet. They've risen a little bit, but we're expecting them to rise more.
So people need to rush and buy an income property.
yeah, definitely.
Hurry.
Okay. Great time to do it.
Hurry. And don't call Ben. Call me. All righty. Well, thank you guys for tuning into that market update. And thank you guys for both being here for that. I am your host, Seven Murdoch, exposing the good, the bad, and the ugly in all things real estate Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. right here at KPPF. We'll be right back picking up with our dear Sev. Alrighty, guys, picking up where we left off with that dear Sev. Thank you so much for tuning back into the Sev Sells Show. I'm your host, Seven Murdoch, exposing the good, the bad, and the ugly in all things real estate right here at KPPF Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. with our special guest, Benjamin Kennedy, today, and our guaranteed rate man, Chris Frankmont. So for this week's dear Sev, which is a quick little note from our listeners, Here's what we've got for you. And I think that we're going to have fun on this one because we can answer this one for each other, actually. So I'm excited to see all the nice things that everyone has to say about each other here while we're on the show. But anyways, dear Sev, what makes you go above and beyond at what you do? What makes you unique, relatable, and reliable? And where can someone find value in working with you? I love this question because these are questions that you should be asking your real estate broker, your lender. I mean, quite honestly, anyone that you elect to work with in any capacity in life, you should be asking these questions, right? If they can't justify them or their value doesn't speak for itself already, you maybe want to keep shopping, right? I feel like that's fair. But I think that Chris is relatable because you can talk to anyone. And that's also a very important thing because it's important to like who you work with. Ben, I know you can get bougie and you can also talk to your contractors and everything else, right? You're pretty well versed on that whole topic. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to your own personal businesses, your own personal brands, where would you say, you know, you guys really set yourselves apart at what you do?
Yeah, great question, Sev. So for us, there's a couple things. One is our goal is always to be a mortgage advisor for people. We don't want to be just the guy that does your loan. If you're just looking for the guy that does your loan, yeah, call some broker in their basement of Alabama that can get you the save you $12 a month compared to everyone else. We want to be an advisor who's helping you analyze not only your position now and best move now, but how that's going to affect you down the road and set yourself up for the right future moves. It's amazing how many people we talk to that have VA eligibility who misused their one-time restoration with a refinance because they didn't understand the implications. They weren't educated on it.
Yeah.
Lenders just pushed them to do it. And so there's scenarios like that where we really can add a lot of value to people and advise them in ways that's going to save them so much money in the long run and a whole lot more than that 12 bucks a month on this, one mortgage by setting you up for success on your next 2, 3, 4 houses as well. So that's one. The other big one that we talk about, it may sound funny, but I actually think it is unique in this day and age. And that is one of GR's core values is we give a shit. And it's one of my team's favorite ones. Just like that. We give a shit. It's one of our core values. And we really take a lot of pride in that. You know, we really care about our clients and what we do. And we're getting them a house. And we remind each other of that all the time. It's easy when you help 80 families a month get a house for it to start to feel like a number. And we always say, hey, this is a big deal. Everyone you talk to, you're having one of the most important conversations to them that they're going to have. They're talking about buying a house, their dream, their future. Mm-hmm. We need to take that really seriously. We take a lot of ownership in that. We care about that. And I think that really impacts our customer service, just how we handle and treat things, because we understand that although to us, maybe it's a problem we see 10 times a month and it's no big deal, to them it is a big deal. It's their mountain right now, even though it's maybe our molehole. And we want to help them see that it's not a problem. We're going to help them fix it.
Well, I mean, and when it comes to working with a good lender, and I think that you would fall into that category,
Thank you, Chris.
Yes, that's all. But it's incredible how many of my clients go in, talk to, you know, a good lender, my lender, you, whoever, right? And that lender, if they actually take the time to work through everything that they've got going on, you know, I might have a client that walks in and is like, I know that this is exactly what I need, but they fail to realize that they have all of these other options, you know, and they're all worth exploring.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the common ones that I still get all the time is we do a lot of VA business. We'll get these soldiers that are only going to be stationed here for 3 or 4 years. And they'll come in and say, you know, I want the lowest possible rate. And I'm like, okay, great. How long are you going to be in the house? 3 years. You think you'll keep it as a rental afterward? No, we're definitely going to sell it. Okay, then you don't want the lowest rate. Let me show you why. Let me show you your break-even points, other ways to structure. You're only better off at that low rate after 8 or 10 years. You know, why are you going to pay? And so people will come in and not even realize their priorities are conflicting.
Right.
Hey, I want this and this. And I'm like, well, those actually kind of conflict. Let me educate you on why. What's more important to you? And so those are absolutely areas that we see other lenders falter in.
I couldn't agree more.
100%.
So, Ben, spotlight's on you.
Yes.
Time to shine.
All right.
Luxury realtor, investor, entrepreneur, Mr. Extravaganza. Why are you amazing to work with? Like, what do you do better? And I can answer this list all day long.
I'm sure you can. I think one thing I pride myself in is one, kind of what Chris was saying with their company. No, I actually do care. I think it's important to work with people in this kind of industry where we're not – and we don't necessarily need the commission right away. I'm not doing stuff. I'm not pushing my clients into a bad scenario because I need to make my house payment. Yeah. Like, I don't need every deal to go through. And so we really care and break down and find out what somebody really needs. And we help direct them, you know, in kind of that direction. And two, I just think it's always important to stay with a realtor, you know, like you and I, who are just constantly in the business doing work. Like, you don't want to
100%.
A good analogy would be like, you don't want to go down to Tijuana and get plastic surgery because and get somebody who just does it part time. Like, you want somebody who's going to be, if you're going to do that, you want surgeons doing it day in, day out, 24/7. And it's the same with real estate. So you want to pick a realtor who's just constantly, constantly working and knows the market in and out like the back of their hand.
I love your reference.
Quite the analogy.
Yeah, we've got to avoid those Tijuana plastic surgeons.
Call me, Ben. Yeah. Don't go to a Tijuana plastic surgeon.
That's so funny. But yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, also just kind of like what Chris said, you know, in exploring all options, you got to work with a realtor that will not only take the time to do that with you, but is educated enough to do that with you as well. And one thing that I think is really cool about you, BK, is you can walk into a total crapshoot of a house and you see this gorgeous vision, right? You have the ability to actually sell that. And so you can show properties to someone in a luxury price point that's a total dump and sell them their dream home because you can make the vision quite literally come to life. And that's important in any facet of real estate when you're looking for the house or the ideal property.
Yeah, well, no, thank you. I appreciate it. Another part of it, too, is I just like to show people, I mean, that's how you attain equity immediately in a house, too. And so it's nice to know within a few months of you buying the biggest asset and investment of your life that you could turn around and sell it the next day for, you know, for profit. So.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, that's a good place to be. And having equity in home ownership is a great thing to leverage. I'm sure Chris can definitely attest to that. But you guys, we are going to go ahead and tune out today. Chris, thank you so much for being here. Ben,
thanks
thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Being our special guest. And to everyone that's listening or watching, thank you so much for tuning in to the South Sell Show. I am your host, Seven Murdoch, exposing the good, the bad, and the ugly in all things real estate right here at KPPF Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. And please don't forget to like and subscribe to us on YouTube at KPPF Radio 1040 a.m. We will see you guys next week.